Malia's doing such a good job with her singing, and I couldn't help but think and anticipate the day that she'll sing that for us with a greater understanding of God's grace upon her life. I'd like to call your attention to some scripture found in Psalm 9, and I certainly ask an interest in your prayers, and I actually only want to read two verses from this psalm for a scripture reading today. Psalm chapter 9, and I want to read 16 and 17. Psalm 9, verses 16 and 17. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And the message that the Lord has given me this morning to share with you, I'd like to speak to you today about this place that we read about in the Bible that's called hell. It's real. It exists. I want to talk to you today about avoiding hell, about escaping hell. I want to speak to you today that are here that have never been saved, that are still lost. And I hope that you will perhaps, and I don't know, you know, that we really stop and fully realize this, but I hope and pray today that perhaps you will get at least a better understanding of how fragile that you are and of how close that people that are living in this dangerous world, people that are living in this uncertain world, you know, we're living a very uncertain life here from day to day, aren't we? I mean, we don't know, none of us here today possess the knowledge of whether we'll be here tomorrow or not. We don't possess the knowledge of whether we'll live to finish this day. We just don't know that. And I think sometimes that maybe it's not realized enough that hell is so close to those who are not prepared. Because really and truly, it's nothing more an eternity in a devil's hell for those who are lost is truly nothing more than a single breath away. That's how fragile that we really are. You've probably heard the term used, the brittle thread of life, that we are just hanging by the brittle thread of life. And our lives here, our earthly lives are frail and they are fragile. And there's only that single breath, that last breath, that separates us from an eternity. And so I want you to think about that if you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And I realize today that my great dilemma in trying to deliver this message, and truly all I can do is and have been able to do is try to pray that God would help me today to say something that would cause you to see your great need of salvation, that would cause you to have a great desire to escape this awful place. Because I know that as I stand before you today and try to preach to you about the lower world, about this place of torment, I realize that I won't really be able to explain to you today and cause you to see today how awful that it really is. I realize that every time in the years of my ministry, I realize that every time that God has allowed me to try to preach a sermon about heaven, I know that every one of them that I've preached has fallen well short of how glorious and how beautiful that heaven really is. And I realize that when I preach about hell, that the things that I have to say no doubt will fall well short of how horrible that place really is. But I want to ask the church today to pray, and pray that God will take whatever that I'm able to say and use it today to cause those among us who are not saved to realize that there is an awful place of eternal torment, that there is a place where those who fail to get right with God while they have time and opportunity will have to go. And I hope today that you will realize that, and not only that you will realize that, but that you will seek to escape that awful place. You know, I'm convinced that there have been, throughout the history of the human race, I'm convinced that there have been many people that have sat under the sound of the truth of God's Word, that have heard about this place that the Bible calls hell, that have heard about how that it's only through the Lord Jesus that we can be saved and escape this place, and yet they failed to apply it to their lives. They failed to repent of their sins. They failed to turn to the Lord and place their full trust in Him. And suddenly, the next thing they knew, they found themselves in hell. That's awful, isn't it? I mean, that's the worst thing. I mean, that's the most despicable thing that I have ever thought about in this life. But it's true. I mean, we even have accounts of it in the Scriptures, and I want to share some of those with you. You know, if you look in the Bible, and I don't know how many of you have noticed this, but if you look in the Scriptures, if you take what the Bible says about heaven and you take what the Bible says about hell, you'll find that there's just passage after passage after passage in the Bible that talks about heaven. And I believe that you will find in the Bible, there are about 54 places in the whole Bible where the term hell is mentioned. There are other words that are used to make reference to it, but there's just, you know, many, many, many more times in the Bible does it talk about heaven than it does about hell. But the Lord wanted it to be known, didn't He? He wanted it to be known. He wanted it to be preached. He moved upon holy men in days of old to write the Scriptures that we do have about this place called hell, because He wanted people to know that not only is there a heaven, not only is there a great paradise, a great place where people can dwell in the presence of God when this life is over. And you know, my soul from time to time, and those of you that have been saved, you understand what I'm saying in this, but my soul from time to time just gets so excited and just bubbles over, and my cup just runs over when I begin to really stop and ponder the thought and the reality that I'm going to get to go to God's bright heaven. Amen. That I've been saved, and I'm going to get to see that land that the Bible tells us eye has not seen, ears not heard, it's not even entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And when I think of the reality that I will actually get to view that land, sometimes it's just more than I'm able to contain. But then oftentimes my thoughts are also drawn to the awful fate that awaits the wicked. And you know, you can sit here today and for the sake of truth, I want to define this, because you may be able to sit here today and you may say, well, but preacher, I haven't experienced what you talk about. I haven't experienced this salvation or this new birth that you talk about, but I'm certainly not wicked. You know, I'm not a thief and I'm not a murderer and I don't do all of these things. But listen, the Bible talks about essentially two classes of people in the eyes of God, and that is the righteous and that is the wicked. And all of those, and it's not a question of how that you may be living your life. You know, if you're not doing all of those things that I mentioned, if you're not guilty of those things, well, thank God that you're not. Nobody should be guilty of things. But listen, that's not what changes our nature. We have the nature of sin, and therefore, if you have not been saved, you are what the Bible terms as the wicked. And the Bible tells us that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I want you to know today, friends, I love you enough today. The Lord loved you enough to put it in His word that there is a place called hell. And I love you enough, and the church here at Fairview Memorial loves you enough today that we want you to know the truth about the eternal destination of those who fail to repent of their sins and get right with God. Listen, I want you to know something. In this watered-down, what we call modern method of preaching that goes on in the world today, there have been many people, and this started here in our country in the early 1800s, but there began to be people that didn't even believe that you ought to preach this type of thing to people. They thought those fire and brimstone sermons about hell ought to be, people ought to stop preaching them and just preach to people about the love of God. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. It was my experience when I was lost and without God that those good old truthful fire and brimstone sermons about hell, boy, I mean, they got close to me. They got next to me. And I'm glad that there were people that made me realize through the truth that they preached and that they stood for, that there is a place called hell. Amen. And that I would go there if I continued in my lost condition. And if you read the 116th Psalm, David didn't say that it was the joys of the thought of heaven. He said it was the sorrows of hell that compassed him. Pain got a hold upon him. He found trouble and sorrow. And, lost friend today, I can't tell you exactly how you might experience it. But I'm going to tell you this, that I'm convinced that in one way or another, and it might feel a little different to you than it did to me or someone else, but I'm going to say this, that I believe that everybody that gets saved before they reach that place where they're born again by the Spirit of God, they get in trouble over their condition. That trouble comes. That trouble comes. God sends that trouble that causes us to realize, yes, I am lost. Yes, I am condemned before God. Yes, I am a sinner. The truth reaches the hearts of people. And when that happened to me, it caused me to realize exactly what I was, that I was nothing but a ruined, condemned, lost sinner without God, and that I was on my way to that place that burns forever and forever. And I realized that. In fact, to be honest with you, that was very much on my mind just before the Lord saved my soul. I felt like that I was just slipping off into that place, hopelessly lost and without God. And when I begin to call upon the name of the Lord, and He saved me and gave me escape, and the fires of hell will never touch me. But it's not because of me. And it's not. And if you've been saved, it's not because of you. Because listen, every one of us, we need to realize that if that's where we went for eternity, we would be receiving nothing but what is due to us. We would be receiving nothing but our just reward. We're all worthy of it. But thank God that He has grace and that He has mercy and that He's willing to pull us out of the fire, that He's willing to save us from our sins, that we will never have to experience that awful place. If it were not for the mercy and the love and the grace of God, the whole human race would burn forever in the lower world. And I'll tell you what, lost friend, today, if you don't look to the Lord Jesus Christ for His mercy and His grace, that's exactly where you will be. That's exactly where you will spend eternity. I want to share some scriptures with you about hell. There are so many places in the Bible that do speak about it, that refer to it as a place of fire. And I'll tell you what, I believe that's what it is. In Mark chapter 9, verse 44, Jesus said that hell is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14, and if you're here today, and you're lost, I want you to think about these questions. In Isaiah 33 and 14, Isaiah the prophet said, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" And what about it, lost friend, today? What about those of you who are not ready to meet the Lord? What about those of you who have not turned to Him and sought Him out for the salvation of your soul, but you sit here today? You know, perhaps you have sat under the sound of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ time and time again. Perhaps you have been privileged to sit in services where the great power of God was manifest through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the saints of God begin to get happy in the Lord, and it becomes so apparent that God is real and that God really is with His people. And yet you sit through those things and you push it away, and rather than turning to the Lord, where will you dwell? Will you be among those that will dwell with the everlasting burnings? Will you be among those that will experience the eternal devouring fire? Listen to me. If you've ever listened at all, listen to this. I guarantee you today, and I say that based upon the authority of the Word of God, that there is a place beneath. There is a place that's real. It's just as real as Bowling Green, Kentucky is real. It's real, folks. It's the lower world. It's known as a place of eternal destruction, a place of everlasting torment, a place of eternal flames, and it's burning today. And the Bible tells us in the 14th chapter of Revelation that the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and forever. And it's a place where there are souls right now that they lived in this world. Some of them may have lived here recently. Some of them may have lived here a long time ago, but they lived here. They were living, breathing human beings just like you, and they passed through this life and they failed to be saved. They failed to turn to God for eternal salvation, and death came upon them, and they slipped out of this life into eternity, lost and without God. And now they're suffering. They're suffering the pains and the torments of that awful place, and they can never get out. They can never escape. You know what the worst thing, in my opinion anyway, you may have a different one, but you know what, in my opinion, the worst thing about hell is not just the flames. It's not just the pain and the torment that people feel there, but it's the fact that people are forever cast away from the presence and the love and the mercy of God. There's no mercy in hell. There's no mercy. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 described it as a lake of fire. And friends, listen, there's no mistaking the language. There's nothing hard to figure out about this. This is one of the most plain verses of Scripture that you'll find in the Bible anywhere. That chapter talks about the day of God's great white throne judgment, and it says the books are open, and those that are there are judged out of the books, and it says another book was open, which is the book of life. And listen to how plain and how straightforward that the language is. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know what? There's some things I was studying. I spent several hours this past week studying something from the book of Revelation. And there are things in there that I can study and study and study and invest hours in and have such a hard time getting a grasp on what it's really saying. But you know what? I don't have any problem at all understanding what Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 was telling us. Whoever is not found in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. It's pretty plain, isn't it? All those that don't get saved, all those whose name does not get recorded in the Lamb's book of life, is cast forever into the lake of fire. We have an account in the Scriptures, in the 16th chapter of Luke. Jesus gave us an account of a man, and the Bible says that he was a rich man, and he went to that awful place. And in that place, he began to cry out to God for mercy. Do people cry out to God in hell for mercy? You better believe they do. In fact, that's all that they do, is just continually and eternally cry out to God for mercy, but it's not ever given to them. And the Bible teaches us that there in the 16th chapter of Luke. That rich man there, from the very place of eternal flames, he cried out to God for mercy. And the Bible tells us in Luke 16, 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." That's not hard to understand either, is it? This man, the Bible tells us that in life he had everything. He fared sumptuously every day. He was rich. But he didn't have the most important thing. He didn't have salvation. And he died. And he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being where? Being in luxury? Oh no. Being in torments. You know, I heard a man say this one time. I hope he got things right. I hope he got things straightened out before he left the world. But he said this to me. I wouldn't tell you this today if it wasn't so. He said this to me. He said, well, I guess when I die, I'll just go to hell. Because I think that's where a lot of my friends are. And we'll just have a big party. Now, you know, sometimes when you hear things like that, you may think it's made up, but I had that said to me. But I want you to know something, friends. There's no party in hell. There's nothing good that can be said about hell. There's nothing good that can be said about a person dying and losing their soul in an eternal devil's burning hell. There's nothing good that can be said about it. And people in hell are not enjoying the presence of each other. This man that we read about in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he did not say, listen, I've got five brothers back on earth, and I would to God that they would come to this place with me, that we could share each other's company and that we could have a good time together. No, he wanted Lazarus to be sent back to warn them, lest they also come to that awful place. And there's no big bang-up party going on in hell, and there's nobody that's enjoying it in any way, shape, or form. Don't deceive yourselves. It's an awful place. Those that are there don't want to be there, and they don't want anybody else to come there. There's weeping, and there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth, and there is before them the eternal knowledge, the eternal awareness that it's too late. There is the remembrance. Remember what was said about that rich man in Luke 16? Where it was brought to his remembrance of the good things that he had experienced in this life. And now they were passed away. And I'll tell you what, I was reading that one day and I thought about what that man had said to me. And I thought, well, you know, there's no way there can be a party going on in hell, because that man couldn't find a thing to refresh himself with, could he? He couldn't find a thing to drink. You know what the Bible tells us? In life, he fared sumptuously every day. Why, he had all the food and wine and whatever that it was that he cared to drink. He had an abundance of it in this life. But in hell, he couldn't even find enough water to fit on the tip of somebody's finger to cool his tongue and to give him any kind of relief from the flames that he was in. Doesn't sound like a party I'd want to go to. Doesn't sound at all like a good place to go, does it? Jesus, in talking about the end of the world, he said, he's coming. He's coming in the clouds of heaven. He's come with great power, and he's going to gather the nations before him, and he's going to divide them as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. In other words, he's going to separate the saved and the lost. He said, I'm going to put the sheep, the saved, I'm going to put them on the right hand, and I'm going to say unto them, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, I'm going to put the goats or the lost on the left hand, and I'm going to say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what Jesus said will happen. And so today, if you're here and you're lost and without God, you are only a single breath away from slipping off into everlasting torment, everlasting destruction. Before I stop, I want to read this verse to you from Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Listen, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Eternal destruction, eternal punishment awaits those who fail to seek the Lord, who fail to be saved. The only way that you're going to escape the damnations of hell is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the salvation that he has to give. That's the only way. Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. I'll read this, the beginning of this verse, and then we'll have a song, Brother Ronnie, and give an altar call. The beginning of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. I want you that are here today that are lost, I want you to think heavily about this. Think seriously about this as we get ready to sing. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Bible also tells us that hell has enlarged herself. It never runs out of room. Would you like to be saved and escape the torments of an eternal, everlasting, burning place of torment? The devil will be there. You go back to that 20th chapter of Revelation, and the Bible tells us that he too is going to be cast into the lake of fire, along with the beast, along with the false prophet. Judas went to hell. Bible says he went to his own place. He went to hell. The man that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, he died and he lost his soul. Who among us will dwell with the devouring fire and with the everlasting burnings? It'll be those that don't turn to the Lord and don't seek him for salvation. Let's stand and sing. If you're here today and you're lost, I hope you'll come seeking the Lord for the salvation of your soul.
321. 321.